Our God and Father, how grateful we are for the calling that you have given us in our lives, both individually and as a church. We thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of being involved in the expansion of your church, world missions. We just praise you and thank you for it. We thank you for our missionaries who are faithfully serving you and all around the globe today. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with each of our missionaries, keep them encouraged, bless their ministries as they teach and preach the Word of God. We pray that through their activities, many will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that your church will be firmly established in every country of the world where they are serving. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us here as we continue our ministry. We think of our people, Lord, who are congregating with us and worshiping you together. We pray, Lord, that you will be with John DeSantis as he heals from his heart surgery. We just pray for recovery and for growth in you. We pray also for Emmett, Lord, as he faces a procedure this week and possibly even heart surgery. Just pray, Lord, that you will be with him. And I pray, Father, that you will be with each of us as we are temporarily at times laid aside, that our hearts might turn to you, our minds, that we might just rejoice in you and be grateful for all that you have done for us in our lives. We pray for those who are suffering various ills and sicknesses, those who are suffering from cancer. Lord, we just pray for them in their lives. I pray, Lord, that you will be with us, your people, gathered here in East Stroudsburg, firmly committed to the preaching and the teaching of your word. I just pray, Lord God, that you will bless your word as it goes forth. Now be with us this morning as we open the scriptures and as we think upon them. Just pray that you will be glorified in all that we say here this morning. Be with our minds, keep them fertile, keep them firmly established upon you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want you to open in your Bibles this morning, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians. Now, during last month, we were remembering some of the key doctrines of Scripture, and some of those key doctrines that became so important and were rediscovered, if you will, during the Reformation 500 years ago. But these doctrines have been taught down through history. They go all the way back to the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the New Testament. And this morning, I want to just, if I can, just build on the messages that we have had. And I have to tell you that my purpose this morning is only to review what we studied, some of the studies that we did last week, and to build and sort of introduce what I really want to talk about, but what we're going to be talking about next week. So in the book of Ephesians, we were basically keyed in on Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. And probably all of us could quote that from heart, by heart. However, we probably would do that from different translations of the Bible. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, in our current translation, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, I'm going to stop there for now, but I'm coming back to verse 10. At least two of the messages, one brought to us by Keith, it's not at all my purpose to re-preach his message, nor to re-preach my own. He brought us a very enlightening passage on grace alone. Our salvation is by grace. All right. I remember one thing he said in the message was that our salvation comes right from that verse I just read, is a gift from God. And then he was going to talk about a gift being free and reminded us that really if it's a gift, it has to be free. If we make any payment on it, it is not free. It is the purchase of the gift, and we would be purchasing it. But in verses 8 and 9, we see that our salvation in Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, is a gift of God that He gives us. And the way that we appropriate that gift is through what? Faith. Is through what? Faith. Is through what? Faith. All right. Through faith. It is by grace through faith. Now, that's not the end of the subject. And so I want to read verse 10. And Paul in his teaching tells us it's not a result of works. There's no room here for boasting, right? He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, that's what we're going to talk about next week. This week, I want to talk about two phrases out of verse 10. And so after Paul makes it very clear to us that it is that our salvation is a free gift of God, it is by God's grace that He brings salvation to us. He says that we are His workmanship. You see, Paul's building on this whole teaching that went from verse 9 and goes all the way down at least to verse 10. And he's building and wants us to understand where the salvation of our soul comes from. When I spoke a couple weeks ago, I told you the illustration of old Padre Luis Value. And some of you may remember that old Father Lewis and a conversation I had with him, and how difficult it was for him to understand that salvation is not by works, neither is our salvation completed by works. Our salvation is through faith, and faith alone in what Jesus did. I remember when I was concluding that message, I mentioned to you that in one of our Bible studies down in Brazil when we were serving there as missionaries, and we had expressed our hope and confidence that when we die, we know for certain, for a fact, that we will be with God forever. Can you imagine that? When we close our eyes in death, we will be with the Lord forever. Somebody, and most of our Bible studies were with people who were just beginning to investigate the Scriptures, and somebody said, boy, that's arrogant. And I answered it, and I'll tell you again this morning the answer. But that question is really based upon a person's conception, a person's idea that we are saved by our works. And therefore, what we're really saying when we say, I know for certain that when I close my eyes in death, I will be with God forever, that we are really saying, I am holy. I have no sin in my life. And I can step into God's presence because I have done so many good works, and I have not sinned, and I will be with Him forever. Now, I know, and you know, if His premise was true, it would be arrogant. But I remember I turned it on Him, hopefully kindly. And I said to Him, to this person, something like this. I said, no, it is arrogant to believe that you could do something good enough to get you into heaven. Now, what I believe is that I am not good enough. What I believe is that I cannot live a life good enough to get me into heaven. I cannot do anything to get me into heaven. All I can do is trust in what Jesus did when He died on the cross, when He paid the price for me and offered me a free gift that I accepted, and accepted His promise that I will be with Him. That, my friend, is a humble answer. That is not an answer of arrogance. That is recognizing there is nothing good in me. Well, our world today just has a hard time with that. I think most people... I used to say, I think most people in Brazil, when I came back here and began to pastor in the U.S., I found it was just as true here. Most people have the concept that at death, now, however they put this together, that's fine. I'm just going to make a little picture here that you can see, a little word picture for you. They believe that we're going to appear at the gates of heaven before St. Peter. I don't know where they come up with St. Peter when we get to heaven, but that's what most people believe. And they believe that St. Peter is going to have one of these scales there. You know the justice scales? You put weight on one side, and that's where we used to buy our meat in Brazil, by the way. When we lived way up in the interior, not in the cities. The cities are just like here, but when we lived way back and up the Amazon River, one of the tributaries of the Amazon. And we would win all, there they work in kilos. And, we could go in and say, I want a kilo of meat. And the guy would turn around and either get an axe or get his machete and whack. He'd whack off a hunk, and he would put what was supposedly, you know, I saw them drilled in the bottom, and I saw lead up in the, I don't know if it was a kilo, but he'd put it on one side, and then he would always cut our meat a little bit short and put it on there, and the scale was weighted toward the weight. And then he would take some bones and stuff and throw on there until it equaled out. You know, if we complained, he said, listen, when I buy the cow, I buy the bones also. So now when I sell it, I have to sell it with the bones, right? So anyway, they think of that kind of scale. When we get to heaven, St. Peter is going to take all of our good works. He's going to put it on this side of the scale. And then he's going to get all of the things that we did bad and put it on this side. And if that scale goes boom, to the negative side, you know, we go to that other place. And if it tilts to the good side, our good works outweighed our sinful works, He'll open the doors and we can go into heaven. Listen, that is a work salvation picture. That is not a biblical picture. The biblical picture is, if God were to weigh your works and my works, put them on the scale, they would always tip to the negative side. There's no way we could go into heaven. Not one of us. Not me, not you, no one. The scripture tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. But it is only because of Jesus Christ, who was God, who was perfect, who was without sin. It was only because of Him. It was only because of what He did that that scale can tip in our favor. He did it, and I believe it. That settles it. And I can say that when I close my eyes in death, I know that I'll be with Him forever. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Well, when Paul tells us that this is a free gift, that Jesus did all of the work, and freely He gave to us salvation, he then goes on in verse 10 to say, for we are His workmanship. First thing we want to talk about, workmanship. You see, workmanship here is the product. We are the product of what God did, of this free gift. We are what results from that free gift. We do not work. We are God's workmanship. Now, I have to tell you, it's taken me a lifetime to recognize or get a little glimpse into who I am and what God made me. And I'm different than all of you. I want to tell you something. All of you are different than me and each other. Because God, in a physical sense, handcrafted us. We are physically His workmanship. He made us who we are. Long time ago, I came to the conclusion as to who I was not. It's only now I'm beginning to understand a little bit who I am. You know something? Most of us go through life trying to be somebody else. We go through life trying to be the person that maybe even our school teachers told us all our lives. Maybe when they gave those grades, A, B, C, D, and F, and we apply them to the way we think about ourselves, and we think that we are such a failure because that A, B, C, D, E, F, or A, B, C, D, F, does not tell us who we really are. God created us in a very special way. Now, I've come to realize that in my life, the way God put me together, I have sort of a mechanical mind. I love creating things. I love creating things with my own hands. I constantly get projects to do, more than I can even do, from one of my daughters who lives close to me. You wouldn't know her if I told you. And in fact, this weekend, I'm turning over two projects back to them. But I love to work with my hands. I can see things before I begin a project. I have it all in my mind, and I can see that project. And I can take that image and turn it around and look at it from the other side. I understand how it works, etc. And it's one of the abilities that God has given me. But when I get all done, and that picture in my mind now becomes a reality before me, I can turn around. Oh, boy, the joy when I turn around and I say, my workmanship. Somebody else might not think it's good, but that's my workmanship. I think of a story. Oh, I've got to be careful with my stories here. I remember a story when we were living on the largest tributary of the Amazon River. I was young. Cindy wasn't born yet. Bonnie was with us. And I was born and raised outside of Atlantic City. Our lives revolved around the water and the bay and fishing and boating, all of the rest. And for some mysterious reason, God called me to a ministry of boating. And here we were up on the tributary of the Amazon River called the Madeira River. And things were changing a little bit in Brazil, and people were... They had developed a free port and where they didn't have to pay taxes and all at the time. And so things were beginning to arrive. But, we had taken out a boat to help us to get around. And it was, if any of you are familiar with boats, was what we called an inboard outboard. And, had a Chevy engine inside, and, it was big enough to pull skis, but nobody ever had seen a ski up in, water ski up in the interiors of the Amazon. And so I began to think and devise in my mind how I was going to build a set of skis. And I used to stock aviation fuel, not only for my boat, but for another mission that had an aviation ministry. And on their way to the Indian tribe, they would fly in, land at our house right on the riverbank. They would fill up with fuel, and then they would fly into the tribe. And so I had several these big 50-gallon drums full of fuel, av fuel and regular fuel. And I got thinking one night, this is what I do at night when I can't sleep. I sit there and I'm thinking. Usually I can't sleep because I'm thinking, trying to figure things out, right? And I'm figuring how I'm going to make a pair of skis. So I take a barrel, I roll it over, and I take a board that's as wide as a ski, and then I just split it back so far. Push it under that heavy drum that I've wedged on the other side. Then I get another drum. And I lift the back end, and now it's beginning to curve on the front, and I've already smeared it with glue in there, and I roll it up and pull it and roll it and pull it till I have it up, and then I let it dry, and then I came back, and it was up on the end, like water skis are. Got an old pair of sandals and got them placed on there just right. And finally, I taught the boy that worked with me how to run the boat. And we made a tow cable for that boat. And I get out there in front of the town. Now, nobody had ever seen this. We live in a town of about 1,000 people. And so we get out there, and he was towing me. Took off on the boat. The whole city turned out. They were on the riverbank watching this crazy pastor water skiing up and down, and you know, did all kinds of things with that, and had a lot of fun. But inventing and watching my workmanship. Now, Paul is saying here that we are God's workmanship. Listen, we were designed in the mind and the heart of God. Listen, if you're here today in a very, very real physical sense, you were designed in the mind of God. He made you who you are. But Paul's talking here spiritually because our salvation is also comes from the very mind of God. And He has made us in a very special way. Number one, He forgives all of our sin. He gives us the faith and the grace to believe in Him. And He brings to us eternal forgiveness, eternal salvation. But that workmanship of God is designed in such a way that we produce in our lives, that's next week's message. We are the very handiwork, if you will, of God. This is what Paul is telling us in verse 10. We are His what? Workmanship. Okay, we are His workmanship. Now, if we go back to the beginning of verse 2, or of chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," that is Satan, "the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." He was reminding these believers, listen, don't forget who you are. Now don't get stuck back there. But don't forget who you were. You look around, you see people that are not believers in Christ. Understand, you were like that one day. Alright? And so then he goes on, but when he comes to verse 4, we see a transition. And the transition is, but God. Listen, as we look back to who we were spiritually, we see that we were sinners just like everyone else. As we mentioned before, there's no good in us. There's no ability to do something that would bring to us eternal salvation of our souls. We were damned. We were condemned forever. But God in His grace, in the free gift that He gave us, He gave us the ability to believe and to trust in Him. And to accept this free gift that He offers to us. But God. Now in verse 4 he says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Well, there's a second phrase. We are God's workmanship. God works in us. We are the product that God has designed. Listen, the Scripture tells us from eternity past, He made a plan for us. And that plan certainly included our own salvation. But then Paul continues and he says in verse 10, look with me in your Bible there, verse 10. And he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, the word "create" here is a word that can mean to create from nothing, or it can mean to create from something. We see both of these kinds of creation when we look at the story of creation in the book of Genesis. Number one, we see God created not only the world, everything that existed. He is the eternal creator. In other places in Scripture, we read that God spoke and this world came into being. This whole I don't even want to say universe, because it's more than the universe. It's whole creation of God exploded into reality. God created it all from what? From nothing. You believe that? Now, God put things on the earth, the birds and the fish and the reptiles and the animals and the waters and the land and all of the rest. But when it comes to man, he created you and me out of something. God took the dust of the earth and he formed that and formed man out of something, out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Ladies, I hate to tell you this, but God took one of our ribs, and out of that rib, he created you. Now listen, he created us out of something. Men, women, but we, men and women, are the direct creation of God. And I don't care whether you're here this morning and you are male or you are female. You are exactly what God wanted you to be. Now, somehow we understand that in the physical world. But somehow we don't understand that concept in the spiritual world. That he created us and made us something. He made us from something into something. And the scripture tells us what that is. He gave us new life. He took that old life. He took that sinful life. He recreated that and brought us now into fellowship with the Holy God. Unbelievable. We became a brand new being. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new, some of you know it, what's the word? Creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Listen, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God took that old sinful self. He, out of something, now recreated that to be something new. Something with a new purpose. Something with a new reality. So that now in Christ, we are a new creation. You know, there is no room in God's economy for us to be proud and to be boastful, even in the spiritual realm. God gifted us in different ways, spiritually. And next week we're going to see that he gifted us in order that we can fulfill the plan that he had for us spiritually. So God, knowing the purpose of our lives in a spiritual sense, the purpose for our lives, now gives us the gifts that we need in order to attain that purpose. The problem is, so many of us run around comparing ourselves to other people and trying to be like them. Oh, so many stories I'd love to tell you here, but wow. Our time is gone, but just to wrap it up and tell you this, that God put us together like He put no one else together. And when I say us, I mean us individually. All of you are not pastors. All of you are not preachers. All of you are not teachers. But God never intended you for you to be teachers and preachers. All of us teach. All of us preach, even if it's only to our kids. But all of us teach and preach. But we are not teachers and preachers. God has a specific ministry for each one of us and gives us the ability for that. But what Paul is talking about here is that we are God's workmanship. It is God who did it. We're the product. You see, with those skis, when I was making those skis up in the Amazon, in fact, they even made the saw that I made the skis on. But never did I go into my little shop area for work and one of the boards say to me, "Hey, Pastor, I want to be a ski." None of the boards said, "Hey, take me, use me." I came in and made the choice and I said, "Boy, this would be a good one. And this would be a good one." The wood had nothing to do with it, but I did, and I created something. That's the way it was with us spiritually. God created us. We are His workmanship. But He created us now to understand, in Christ, now we are placed into that spiritual body, if you will, of Christ. And another area of Scripture tells us that we are all members of the body of Christ. I used to tell people when I would be teaching on spiritual gifts, some of our members are seen. Some of our members are not seen. You can't see my toes. How do you know they're working? They're in my shoe, in my sock, and you can't see them. But without them, I couldn't walk. It'd be impossible to walk. We'll tell you, in the body of Christ, some of you are toes. Maybe you're not being seen. Maybe you're not up front like me. But without you and your gifts, this body would be crippled. But here Paul is basically talking about our salvation. We are created in Jesus. He had a purpose in mind. And that was so that we would be able to get to the point that He designed us for. So He brings us salvation. We are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are part of this body of Christ. And now, He has made us so that we are going to be able to do good works, not to get saved, but that now we have the ability to perform works that God wants us to do. And that'll be next week. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, what we're created for. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, how we praise You for this wonderful, marvelous salvation. Lord, we would not be so arrogant this morning as to say that we can earn our own salvation. We can't. We know we can't. Nor that we in any way complete the works that You did on the cross by our own good works. That would be arrogant. Lord, we simply, humbly bend our knee before the cross of Calvary and accept Your free gift. And we thank You for it. We thank You for what You have made us. And we pray, O God, that You will help us to live out our lives according to Your will and Your purpose and Your working. Just pray that You will be glorified in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.